How are you guys?
We're good. How are you?
I'm doing good. It's good to hear you're doing well. Thank you for having me.
Of course. We're so glad. Yeah, we met you like so many years ago in North Carolina. That was probably like 2018
probably.
Yeah.
That's wild.
Are you in North Carolina right now?
I'm just at the beach. We have like our mid-season break. So I was like, wanted to get away, but didn't want to get on a flight, basically. It was how I was feeling. I was like, I'm saving my Mexico trip for after season. Right now I'm like, we've just been, the front half of our season's been front loaded with travel. I feel like I've been living out of a suitcase for like 2.5 months. So I was just like, I just want to get away. Nice little car ride.
Yes. So how do you relax? Like, what do you do when you're on vacation?
Oh, well, first of all, I have to like give myself permission to relax, which is like step one. Which this time as I've gotten older, it's a little bit easier, but I find that it's hard to feel like I'm fine. Like day one or two consistent days of like giving myself off, but like three or four, I'm like, what are you doing? You're going to lose fitness, yada, yada. So, but typically to relax, I also like have a, like 10-year-old dog who is like my baby. So I've been away from him a lot. And I was like, I also want to go somewhere that he can go with me. So came to the beach, love going on like morning walks, afternoon walks. Like, I love to read. I love reading. Like I will crush books, which allows me to kind of enter into a different world and like be out of this one, like in a way. So I love doing that. I would say I can also like binge watch TV. Like I can be trashy and stay in my pajamas all day and just like absolutely binge TV.
What are you reading anything right now that you'd recommend or watching anything?
Oh my God. Okay. So I'm watching Blackbird. Have you heard of that?
No.
It's on Apple TV. It is like, I clicked on it and I was like, oh, let's see what this is. And there's like 3 episodes off right now. I think the 4th one comes out on Friday. It is so good. It's so good. It's basically like based on a true story. And this guy is like in prison for being a serial killer, but he's basically, they don't have like any evidence and he's about to be let out because his like testimony, they believe, was like, persuaded or something like that, whatever that word is. And, or pressured into like confessing. And so they put in a like, is it like a mole or something? Like they put this other guy into prison with him to try to befriend him. It's really good. And then I think it's, what's the other one that's out? I think it's on Hulu and it's like under the Siege of Religion or something like that. Have you heard of that?
Under the Banner of Heaven?
Yes. That's it.
That's a little different.
I really fucked up that whole title.
How did you even come up with that? That was an impressive title. I don't even
like, if we were on a game show and I was like, had to give you like a string of words to describe one thing and completely butchered it, and you're like, I got it anyway. I'm like, thank God.
Oh, that's funny.
That's fun though. I mean, it's good that you're learning to relax and you're able to do it, because it is hard. I feel like so many athletes, like you feel like you are off for 3 days and you're like, I'm going to lose everything. But really, realistically, you're not. Like, you need those things, like mentally and physically, to just like chill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm happy you brought it up, Shannon, because I was curious, like, how do you deal with that during the season when you're playing? Like, how do you avoid burnout, because it must be so easy to just like go and do everything.
I will say I think I'm much better in season because it's kind of tailored. Like you've worked in like an off day or two off, you know, like you play and then you have a recovery session and then you'll have like a full off day, which I think also I forgot to say that I like have really enjoyed doing yoga. I've worked like hot yoga back into my kind of routine, and I think for a long time, I didn't like yoga because I didn't like sitting with myself long enough, probably, or like in like having to be still. It really made me like uncomfortable. And then I'd be in there like competing with Becky on the mat next to me. Like, why can she hold this? And I can't, like, I'm a professional athlete. Like, this is horrifying. And now I go and it's like somewhere to just like be for like, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. And I like have really enjoyed that. I think it allows me to like, one, my body feels really good, but my mind is at ease. And I will say, like, as I've gotten older, I've become a lot better at like giving myself permission to like shut down a bit. But I will say, like, during like when we're in your week to week, it's a bit easier because you can kind of like, you have your routine set. I know that like going into the gym these days will get me to here, and then we'll have a game, and then I have a few days off, which I can like, it's a lot easier for me to turn off for one day than it is for consecutive days. So I think like having a vacation is, as much as I can like sit and binge, I will sometimes like feel guilty about it for sure. So I actively have to still like work through it. But I used to be really bad when I was younger because I was just like, I can't, like, why would I take a day off? What does that look like? What does that mean about me? Am I lazy? Like, I am a hardworking player, but like, I'm tired. Can I be tired? And to kind of, you know, mature a bit. And plus my body, I'm just turned 32. Like, I'm firmly in like the beginning of my 30s, which I've absolutely loved, but no, the body needs rest. Like, now, like 98% of my job is recovery. Like, I have to make sure that I'm right.
I think that's such a good point because we've all felt that, like, feeling like we're taking a day off is like we're falling behind. And honestly, what we need to remember is that your off days and your recovery days are when the hard work that you've put in is actually being put to work. Like, that's where all the change is happening. So if you're like constantly running your body down, you're never going to be as strong or as fast as you want to be without giving yourself that, you know, the rest days. And it does take discipline, like you said. It's very mental.
It's so mental. It's 100% mental to be able to like shut down and unplug. And I think that oftentimes, I mean, I came from a generation, like my parents, like the way I grew up, like you worked, you know, like off days, like sitting around, like you didn't do that. Like my dad didn't do that. That's not how he interacted with like his work and his job. Like that just wasn't what I knew. I knew that to be successful, you worked really hard. And now I have an understanding of like, to be successful means balance. You have to have both to be able to be great at what you do and continue to show up consistently, which I think, you know, so many people that are in, I think in this world of professional sports understand, but outside of it, I think you don't fully take account for how hard it is to be consistent day in and day out. And that means like in practice, at the gym, on game days, that all matters. So it's not just me being able to show up on Saturday. It's like, can I show up on Monday through Friday, and can I compete, and can I work hard, and can my body sustain what it needs to in order to be great and do what I need to do on Saturday to give our team a chance to win. And I think that often is overlooked, but a lot of that is being able to like rest and shut down and recover in a way that's like healthy and balanced.
Yeah, I love that. And I was just curious too, like, is it just the fitness side of things, like staying fit, or is it like, are you really strict with nutrition too? Like, are you, because I heard you say balance, and I think it's really important. Like, you can go out and have fun and eat the donuts and all that while also like having a healthy diet and being a professional athlete. So I was just curious, is it more fitness for you that you have a hard time pulling back, or is it also the nutrition side where like, are you super strict, or you allow yourself to like enjoy life too?
Yeah, I again have learned a better relationship with myself, with everything in terms of like eating and recovery and rest and what all that looks like and means for me. I will say like fitness, like sometimes I'm like, ooh, fitness, but I'm like, I'm gonna be honest with you, I run and like lift weights because like I know I'm gonna look good. It's like less for like what I do. Like for me, I'm like, oh, I want to do this because like it makes me feel good about me. And then like the nutrition side is often one that for a long time, truthfully, I had a terrible relationship with food. Like growing up, I would not eat before games. I'd be like, I play better on an empty stomach. Like, this is like, I can do this. And you can up until a certain point, you can sustain that type of, I mean, or at least I could up until a certain point until I got into probably like my third or fourth year of the league. And I would get really fit. I could like lift. I was fast. My like endurance levels were high, but like throughout the season, I started to like my body composition would change. So I'd look like more puffy, especially like in my face. And I was so self-conscious of it. Cause in college, like, I mean, everyone, I at least gains like the freshman 15, which I like look back and I was like, oh my God, I definitely did. And during it, I was like, I look fine. And I'm like, no, you didn't. You're puffy. So like, and conversations that were had with me, like the relationship about food and the way I looked, it was like very harsh. It wasn't like, we want to help you like get lean. And so you can do this. It was like, you need to lose weight. And those two conversations sit really different with women, whether you want to admit it or not. And I think it further kind of solidified this, like, I'm not going to eat that much, or like, I'm going to eat only certain things, or like, I'd be really harsh on myself with like, you know, sweets or stuff like that. Like I would eat it, but I'd also feel like guilty about eating it. And so I got into the league, probably was doing well, got to Seattle, and I like struggled with like cramping, and like, they're like, drink more water. I'm like, I'm hydrated. Like, I'm not dehydrated. I'm doing all the right things. But like, I would start to cramp in like a 75th minute, like, you know, and the way my ability to like run and stuff, it just didn't add up to like why I wasn't able to like sustain for like 90 minutes. And so I got put in contact with like a nutritionist. And she basically was like, what are you eating during the day or like during the week? And I told her, and she was like, oh my God, you're severely like under fueling yourself. Like, you're not eating the right things at the right time. You don't have enough energy to sustain like what your output is in a game. And yeah, your body's just like shutting down basically. And so at like 24, 25, I started to change my relationship with food. I kind of like saw food. I had to like switch the narrative and see food as like something that could fuel me to do and perform my best at the best of my ability. And it took some time. It took some time to like understand like what that looked like and give myself the ability to like eat and eat the right thing. You know, like I was, and it became like, oh, learning how to really cook in ways that weren't like baked chicken and broccoli and like a sweet potato. I was like, oh my God, that's like the only thing you were told that was healthy in college. I was like, this is disgusting and I want nothing to do with it. Now I like love food. I am a foodie here, like through and through. I think that's like my food is my favorite way to like connect with people, is they're like around a dinner table or like at a new restaurant or something like that. And so like I value food. So in that way, I think I can like allow myself to really enjoy it now, knowing that like I have the ability to know like what's good for me, what I have to cut out to like decrease inflammation, or what's going to fuel me, how that looks, and like when to eat. And like, I don't like really crave like desserts or sweets like that, but man, bread is like my weakness. Like a chip, I'm like, put chips and salsa in front of me, self-control, you know? So it's like, I think, yeah, I have to be conscious of it. But like when I'm on vacation, I kind of do probably become a little bit more lenient, not to the point of like, I'm going to put myself in a hole, but I'm not going to like shame myself for like having an ice cream sandwich or something, you know? So it's, you can't, I think as an athlete, like we, especially as females, like there's been a lot of messaging throughout the years that makes it really hard to break down. And it takes a lot of self-work to break down like where that messaging is coming from. And once you do that, I think you can really like live this very full life that also has balance to it.
It's so interesting what you brought up. And I can't tell if it's an age thing because like I'm 32 as well and they're right by our age. So I feel like we grew up in the same way where like college was like the epitome of an unhealthy relationship with food. Like there was such a strong association between like looking fit and then being fit, like as if they had to be the same thing at the same time. And it's just very interesting that it took you until professionals to be able to learn the proper way to fuel yourself. And I'm just curious, do you think that it's a little bit different now? Have things changed at all? Or do you have any advice for, you know, younger athletes who may have, you know, not the best relationship between what being fit and healthy and their attachment of what it looks like or what it, they think it should look like is?
Honestly, I don't know. I'm not in college now, so I can't speak as if like, oh, I'm sure it's the same thing is going on. But I would have to imagine that there is messaging to younger female athletes that it's like, it will stick with you. And it will stick until you decide either to let it go or work through it or find something different. Or someone else tells you something different and you're like, a light bulb clicks and you're like, oh, okay. But I will say that I think for women across the board, especially when you're playing sport and especially during like my era, like looking back, like we grew up with like, you know, Cosmopolitan or what was that magazine? Was it Cosmopolitan?
Yeah. Toxic.
Like 17 magazine and everything in there was like, oh, this is what I want to look like. And they're like very skinny, like model-esque girls. And I don't think like it was, like, I wasn't so impressionable that I was like, oh, I have to look like this and be able to play soccer. But I remember having to like really break down, like, my body's never going to look like that. I like, you know, went through puberty. I used to be like a stick and like basically all through high school and then hit puberty. And I was like, oh, I now have like boobs and a butt and like some type of curve, but like I am muscular. And I think like, it was probably in Kansas City. Like, I think Lauren Cheney, we were having a conversation and she's like, your body's banging. Like you have to celebrate your body. It allows you to do what you are doing and like to do it so well. And I remember being like, oh wow. Like I never speak to my body that way. Like I never like look in the mirror and like, I mean, this continued for like some years. Like I didn't, the light bulb didn't just click. Like I think I was in my later 20s until I like looked in the mirror and was like, oh, like my body's powerful and it's beautiful and I'm not looking at it and picking out every like flaw within it. You know, I'm not looking at it and being like, oh, I could lose weight here. Like this could look better, blah, blah, blah. And I think it's just like the harshness of like what we do, you know, like you are critical. This job comes with the amount of criticism that it allows you to perform and stay fit and stay consistent and be relevant. But I think like once I flip the narrative and I would say for like, you know, younger female athletes that are especially in college, like your relationship with you and your body matters. And like the way you speak to yourself matters. And you can't control how anyone else is going to speak to you. You can't control what a coach is going to say. You can't control what your parents are going to say, but you can control like how you feel about yourself and how you speak to yourself. And I think I learned later in life, it took me some time to be able to like give myself compassion, to sit in that space and not view it as weak. And I think a lot of that came, and the inability to do so came from like, if I do that, am I still going to be good? If I do that, am I going to like let myself go? If I do that, am I going to, you know, be able to compete in the same way? It was all tied to the same thing. And like, that harsh critic also influenced just a lot of the way that I interacted with the world around me. And I think the harsh critic within that was definitely solidified in the environments that I was in and the people that were speaking to me in positions of power that were like, you need to do this. You need to look like this. This is what you have to do to be successful. And some of it's true. And you're allowed to take the parts that you're like, yep, this works. Yep. That's not going to work for me. Or I'm going to take this and do it my own way. And you have the power to do so. But I think for me, I would urge, you know, young, like young professionals, like really be cognizant of like the way you speak to yourself. And if you need help, go seek it. I think my life changed when I sat in a therapist chair, like truly changed for the better.
Yeah, nuts. And it's like when you finally learn that your body is a product of all the hard work that you put into it, and it's not supposed to be like this thing that we manipulate to then go and do the hard work. It's literally a result of our hard work. So like you were saying, as soon as that switch sort of flips and you can see it as a powerful thing, it's a game changer. And now you probably literally, once you let go of that desire or the need or the pressure to feel to look a certain way, you probably feel so much better on the field.
Like, oh my God, so much better in my life, so much better in like everything. And I think part of it comes with maturity, but like I said, I sought therapy probably like end of 2019, beginning of 2020. And I sought it out because of like other things that were happening in my life, like off the field. And I had also like just recently torn my ACL. So like all these things that like I, especially soccer, that allowed me to kind of, you know, put in the headphones at the gym or go out to the soccer field and kind of just like shut off from the rest of the world from this amount of time that typically would like get me through my day and be like, oh, I'm good. Like I was able to do this, wasn't working in the same way. Like these things that I used to do and I couldn't actually do them. Like I tore my ACL. So I was in like rehab, which is so hard. And you're sitting with like all of this doubt and questioning. And I remember like having this conversation with my therapist and she was like, you know, I want you to put up like a picture of the little girl that like you were when you're like playing. So, you know, like the little girl, the little version of you that still lives within you, put it up on your mirror and like talk to her, like speak to her in this way. And I was like, oh my God, I would never speak to this like cute little thing, like the way that I speak to myself. Like, I would never do it. And it started and it felt so uncomfortable and so awkward. I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to do this. And like committing to that exercise and really like embracing this little girl that also is just like so proud of who I am and what I've accomplished in the way that I've decided to do it. I found myself like being able to like talk to myself in a way through my like recovery that was like, you need, like, you don't need any more doubt going through an ACL recovery. There's enough built-in doubt as is. Like, you're questioning literally everything. And I remember going through a workout and like, it was like a 2-minute run and I had just come off like my second surgery and I was like starting to like get back, like trying to gain meters and like fitness. And I did like a pyramid. So it was like 1 minute, 2 minutes, 1 minute, 2 minute. And it was like basically like the easiest form. And I wasn't even going that fast. And I remember like thanking my knee, like being by myself, like out at the field and being like, thank you so much. And I was bawling, crying, like bawling. And like, I mean, I get emotional talking about it now, but it was like in that moment that I'm like, oh my God, I need to learn. I need to remember to like thank myself when I get back from this and like continue on and like get back to where I want to be. Like, I need to thank all of it for like being here and like supporting what I like love to do. And I think that was a moment that just like changed my life. It was like me and myself out on this field, like honestly fucking miserable. Like, it was already hard enough. And it was like that moment of gratitude, like for myself, that I just was like, okay, like I'm going to be okay.
This is so powerful. Thank you so much for being vulnerable with us. Cause this is how we've all like truly felt. Like, it's like, why are we trying to look a certain way and bashing ourselves every single day when we are so amazing in so many ways? And like, without your legs, without your body, yeah, like you wouldn't be able to be doing your dream job and like just being where you are today. So like, it's just so powerful. And you get it, seeing a therapist and even like talking with a nutritionist, like this is what we promote to our audience. We want people to realize you can hire help and get through the toughest times of your life to have these epiphanies that are game changing, life changing.
Yeah.
You're so strong and like brave. And we're so happy that you brought it up because it's just like every single player goes through this. And like, it needs to be talked about more openly. Yeah,
for sure. I think that's like, you know, when people are asked, like, what do you want to do with your platform? And I think as I've been able to become like more centered and not just like, I guess, have a foundation where I feel very confident and like trust myself and my own experience and my own story to be like super transparent with it and kind of be like, it's okay to be in therapy. It's okay to ask for help. It's okay to struggle. Everyone does. You're not alone in that. Everyone suffers. It's honestly like what brings humanity together. Everyone has a form of suffering, and you might be in a season where you're not, but someone else close to you probably is. And to be able to show up for them and yourself simultaneously matters. And I was talking to Megan Rapinoe the other day, and we were just having this conversation, and she was just like, honestly, like to have played women's sport, like, you have trauma. And the reality is, it's so true. We were just talking about it. She's like, gosh, you know, like, not even from like a physical or mental standpoint, but like financially, like all this stuff, like to have made it to the professional level in women's sport, no matter what sport, you've experienced some sort of trauma. And you will carry it with you. You will carry it with you into your like relationships, into other jobs, into other interactions. And I think that was something that like my therapist really brought to light for me, because I thought that I could easily just compartmentalize like my entire life. So Mary had a relationship with her family, and then the relationship with friends, and then her partner, and then soccer. And that person just changed in every different aspect. Like, I could be this person, then step out of that, and then be this person. And I remember sitting, and at one point I had two therapists. So that's like, I had one for like more sport oriented and one for like more, like life. And it was like 2021. So this is like fairly recently. And, I was like struggling with coming back. Like 2020 for me was like a hard year, but it held a lot of hope. Like, I was coming back from injury. I was like, I'm going to make this happen. 2021 was probably one of the most painful years of my life. And it was like on the backside of like, oh, I've done all this work. So like, this year has to be better. Like, this has to be the year. I've recovered, I'm back, yada, yada. And it ended up being the most challenging and like gut wrenching and kind of like test of like, okay, you've done all this work, like, who are you and who do you want to be and how do you want to do it with like all this adversity in front of you and this uncertainty and like you're not feeling grounded at all. And a lot of that came from like coming back and playing. I just felt nothing like myself. I didn't feel comfortable, and that was like jarring. And I was sitting in like a therapy session, and he was just like, you know, you like this uncertainty that you're feeling in soccer, like, you're going to carry this like into all these other aspects. And he's like, you're okay to feel comfortable with who you are and what you've done and find certainty in that, because like, you ultimately, you don't get to just like be this person here and then think that doesn't carry with you in all these other ways. And I had understood that message before, but it was like in that moment that I was like, oh my gosh, like, this thing is so much a part of my life, and having uncertainty here can also just rattle me in all these other ways. And I want to believe that like it doesn't, and it's okay to be like, it does. It's a huge part of your life. Like, it is. And for many of us has like, we credit to becoming who we are. And so it's like that space created, and really committing to creating a space between who I am, the soccer player, and who Merritt is, with like just as who I am, was really important. Because like, yeah, soccer is a part of my life. It's not my whole life. And it's brought me incredible experiences, but like, I'm also this person who is, you know, all of these things. And that person steps into soccer. Soccer doesn't step into this, you know?
I love this. And this is why it is so important that like all of these professional players deserve to have like a soapbox to stand on and tell their story, because I could go to a game and watch you play and not know all these things about you and not hear all these pieces of wisdom that you have that can literally change how people think. That's why it's so important for us to like just provide a place where you guys can like amplify your voice, because every single person that we talk to has such a good and different perspective on their journey that they've had through soccer and what it's taught them. And just, you said, I literally, if I was writing things down, I would have run out of room of just great things that, you know, like players coming up into your position can just learn from, and just not even players, just humans. So I love it. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us. And it just leads me to the next question. I'm wondering, how do you hope to leave soccer better than you found it?
That's a, you know, very good question. I hope to leave this game in a place that's competitive, but also compassionate, that there's a space for both. And I think for so long, we have thought that the only way to make it in sport is to be, you know, like very harsh and rigid, and it has to look this way in order to be successful. And the environments that have been created have been one that like are abusive or traumatic or toxic. And I think going through everything that like I went through with the North Carolina Courage and Paul, like last year of 2021, you mourn all of this. It's like a grieving process, and you come out of it and you're like, well, there is so much paradox in life, and that doesn't stop when it comes to soccer. And I think to really embrace this game, you have to have both. You know, you have to have an environment that's challenging and competitive and gritty and hardworking. Like, that is part of playing sport, and that is like a part that I love about playing sport. I love that side of it. But to have that, you can also have like nurturing, loving, caring, you know, powerful environments, compassionate environments that like raise women up and put them in the, like, give them the best ability to be successful. And I think for so long we've thought that like the only way to be successful is to like wall off and shut off and be like, I'm going to do this and I'm going to be okay. And like, if you're not, oh, well, I'm going to keep it pushing. And I think that gets really, you know, solidified when you have like a lot of success. You kind of just let the red flags and the toxicity kind of fall to the wayside. And I hope that bringing a voice to this and like being like, oh, all these lines didn't have to be crossed. Like, all, like a sexual boundary didn't have to be crossed to be like, this doesn't feel right to me. This is controlling. This is manipulative. I don't like this. And it took me it took even me to feel comfortable with being like, ooh, I think I had a relationship with someone I really cared about who also meant to be my coach that was like very controlling and very manipulative. And I didn't want to admit it to myself until I really needed to, in order to like move on and heal and kind of like bandage the part of me that was severely wounded by someone that like I thought I loved and trusted. And so I hope that this game, as it evolves and grows and women get more power in this league and make more money and are able to have free agency and all these things that like haven't been in women in the NWSL or like our professional sports world in America, I hope these things like empower women to be like not only badasses, but to also like stand for like what they believe in and like don't silence yourself out of fear that like you might not get where you want to go. And yeah, I hope that like this, you know, this league continues to grow and become somewhere that people are proud of to play in. I really do. And I think a lot of people in the past, you know, year have struggled with like where the league's going, how it's being run. And I hope that like when I leave this sport, that the younger generation feels one, empowered, but proud to like be here and play in America.
That was so beautiful. And I think the huge takeaway here too is players should be able to feel their feelings and talk to people about it instead of just silencing themselves because they think they're weaker for feeling it. And it just goes yeah. like for so many things that you said, like, don't be afraid to talk about how you feel and talk to higher help. Like you said, like that was huge for you and changed your life. And there's just so many amazing takeaways here that can really help the players, you know, work on their body image, work on their food or eating disorders, which are so common in athletes. I mean, we've all gone through those situations, and I just feel like this podcast will change many lives. It will.
Oh, so sweet. Thank you so much. I hope so. I think to just be open and honest and be vulnerable. Vulnerability used to be something that I was like deathly afraid of, to be honest. Like to have like a hard conversation or to say one vulnerable thing or admit to my feelings, like I used to hyperventilate, like it would get stuck in my throat. I had no way to like articulate what that looked like. And I think what I've learned is like vulnerability is not weakness. It's actually quite powerful. And that, you know, in order to make change and be hopefully a light and, you know, want to really impact something that I truly care about, it requires me to be vulnerable. It requires me to be open and honest with my own journey instead of being like, I'm fine. Everything's fine. It's always been fine. And It's not always fine. Literally, if people are like, oh, I'm fine. Nothing's wrong. I'm good. I'm always like, are you? It now is like something that I'm like, I take as like a indicator of like, maybe I need to ask more questions to this person when they're ready. Or maybe I need to ask myself more questions when I'm ready. Because this sport and life in general, life's fucking hard. Like it's not easy. It's a grind, and to keep going requires vulnerability so you can keep people around you that not only hold you accountable but like love you and celebrate you. And I think that's been like such a huge takeaway for me, is that like my female relationships have become so much stronger since I've been able to like fully and wholly like love myself for who I am and how emotional I am and how like gritty I am and all these, like you can be all these things, but like if you hide part of it, then like you don't dim just like some of you, dim all of you. And like people want to see you, they want to know you, they want to know your story. And like if I can help some person that I don't even know, like either go get help or be like, oh, I need to speak up or something, like then it was worth it.
Yeah, that was so beautiful. You're amazing. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. And before we just end the call, we'd love to do just a quick little would you rather game with you. So we'll just ask a question and you can answer it.
Okay.
Okay. Would you rather sing or dance?
Ooh, dance. I'm a terrible singer, but I sing all the time.
Rather spend the day at the gym or on the field?
Ooh, that's a good one. I would say gym.
Love a good gym rat.
Are you team salsa or guac?
Salsa.
All right. Would you rather do the beep test or a timed mile?
Beep test.
And last question, what is your biggest soccer girl problem?
My biggest soccer girl problem. Oh my God, that's a good one. I don't know. Honestly, my biggest soccer girl problem recently has been I cut my hair really short, and I love it outside of like having to put it up for like games or practice. And I have these like annoying ass baby hairs. And so it's either like they're full out and like I don't love the look, but like it's whatever. Or I have a million bobby pins, and the bobby pin situation, like it'll be all good, and then like one pops out and it drives me insane. Like I want it to be all slicked back and like perfect, and it's just not doing that right now, and it's fine. It has like no bearing on my life, but yeah, I am really annoyed with like the baby hairs in the back of my head.
They need an athlete bobby pin, like
yeah, right?
Like, if I get clipped because I have all this, my hair is that short too, and I get hit in the back of the head with this, it like cuts my skull.
It will literally kill you.
Yeah. Like I don't even have short hair, and I got the baby hairs in the back.
So I'm on board for like a collab, and hopefully we can find out like how to make a bobby pin that actually works for athletes.
I love it. Let's do it.
I'm here for it.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for coming on. This was amazing. And I think you gave such incredible advice. I feel like
our listeners are going to take away so many things.
And we really appreciate you being vulnerable and opening up. This was awesome.
Oh my God. Thank you guys so much. I love what you do. I'm just like so proud of you guys. So thank you so much. This has been amazing. And yeah, hopefully we can do it again.
Thank you. Yes. Hopefully we get to see you play in person soon. And we'll send you some gear this week. So you should get it in the mail probably end of week or early next week.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you so much.
Enjoy thank your you. Vacation.
Bye.
Oh my God. Bye. Bye.